Some years ago now, 4 or 5 years ago, I've lost track. It doesn't take me long to lose track of the exact time. One day, just in my devotion time, it was like the Spirit of God put into my heart, "You have served me, Wayne Robertson, and I have been more than good to you." And the conviction came to my heart that, Lord, I don't know if I've ever done anything for you without in some way saying, "Lord, would you?" And folks, it's good once in a while to do something for God and don't ask for nothing. So out of that experience that I had, I came to the church and I said, "I'm going to preach during the month of November on Sunday mornings on the subject of Thanksgiving. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to determine during the month, what would you give to God with no request and just say, 'Lord, I'm giving this to you because I love you and I thank you.'" And it's just like a designated gift that we give above our tithe and offering, which, by the way, I meant to have brought mine this morning and did what a lot of you do. I forgot it, and I'll bring it tonight, God willing. And our goal is not a dollar amount. It's got nothing to do with it. Just whatever you feel in your heart you want to give to thank God, give it. And the elders generally tell us on the first Sunday of December what do we get as that, and then they confirm to us what they're going to do with it. I don't care what they do with it. I know why I'm giving it. And so if you've not done that during the month, I hope you will before the month ends, because truly, we just don't owe him a lot. We owe him everything. The breath we breathe is loaned to us from God. The heart that beats in our bosom is beating by the hand of God. And we just have every reason to thank him and praise him. And during this morning's service, about, trying to be accurate with this, probably 48 Sundays a year, maybe 50 on Sunday morning, I bring what's known as an expositional message. 2 or 3 Sundays a year, I will bring a textual message, and the difference being that whatever I am preaching on that subject, I will use a different text for each point I want to bring to you. This morning, I want to bring to you a textual message on what I call the benefits of giving thanks. You know, folks, giving thanks really is not to God's benefit, it's to ours. And I want us to look at the Word of God today as I give you 8 things, won't take long, 8 benefits, and there's probably 1,000,008, but I just want to mention 8 benefits of giving thanks to God. Would you turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 17? And to keep me from turning so much, I printed off my scriptures on a piece of paper so I can just read, and you'll be able to see them on the screen. But I want to let our launching text be Luke 17. I'm going to read verses 12 through 19 and talk to you for a few moments on the benefits of giving thanks. Are you ready for the scripture? If you are, would you say amen? Amen. "And as he entered," that is Jesus, "entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Now, there's a reason they stood afar off, and I'm just not going there. But if you had leprosy, remember, you were an outcast. You don't get near anybody. Verse 14. "And when he saw them," that is, when Jesus saw them, "he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." You say, "How'd that happen, Pastor?" Well, they, being in a hopeless condition and a helpless condition, no known cure to mankind, are standing off, and they have within them enough faith to lift their voices and say to the only one who really can have mercy on you, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And he said, "Well, now, go show yourself to the priest. In that day, should there be anything from leprosy other than death," you had to go before the priest to be declared clean. And that would have been, of course, a miracle for that to happen. So he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Came to pass as they went, while they were going, they're obeying God, which, by the way, is what faith does. Faith that does not obey is not faith. Today, if you say you have faith and you don't obey God, you may have something, but you don't have faith in the living God. So they must have felt like this guy knows what he's talking about. He's told us to go. And before they were clean, they headed out. And as they were going, the scripture says, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned around and went back. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his, Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And of all things, he wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a Gentile. He was a Samaritan. You say, what is that, preacher? A half-breed that the Jews didn't like and the Gentiles didn't like. The ultimate outcast that nobody wanted anything to do with. Aren't you glad Jesus will have to do with people and issues that nobody else wants to have to do with? And so he falls down on his feet, gives him thanks. Verse 17, Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. You get the point? I thought 10 of you was clean. Where's the other 9? Because they're not found any others that return to give glory to God except this one stranger. And he, the Samaritan, said unto him, or Jesus said to the Samaritan, arise and go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole. Number one, giving thanks gets the Lord's attention. Giving thanks gets the Lord's attention. God had mercy on one who would give thanks. And he asked a penetrating and really condemning question, where's the other 9? Wasn't they 10 of them cleansed? But you don't find 10 being thankful. You just find the one being thankful. And so if you want to get God's attention, you be thankful and you will get God's attention. There's nobody in this room that doesn't want the attention of God. God's given us his son. He bankrupted heaven to send his son to a place called Calvary to suffer not just the wrath of evil men, but to have sin placed on him. And further, that the Father, for the first time from eternity past, would do something that had never been done. There had never been a cleavage. There had never been a divorce between any members of the Godhead. And the Father turns his back on his own son. And his son cries out, as you remember, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'll tell you why the Father forsook him. I'm looking at him right here. And you're looking at him right here. Because the sin that would cause any holy God to turn his back on me has now, as Isaiah said, been laid on him, the iniquity of us all. And in that moment, Jesus Christ has become a guilty man, not guilty of his sin, but carrying my guilt and carrying my shame. And so this Jesus has now looked upon the one who is thankful, and it has gotten his attention. Just a question, I'll move on to number two. If today God gives attention to those that are thankful, don't answer out loud, please. Is he giving you any attention at all? How much thanksgiving is in our hearts? Do you wake up and basically say, good morning, Lord, or do you wake up and say, good Lord, it's morning? Folks, do you know to open your eyes and realize who you are and where you are is a privilege? A privilege. And most of the time, what we have has to be taken away from us before we realize, you know, I was really blessed. Clifford Palmer, who I, among men that lived on earth, had as much respect for him as anybody I ever knew, said to me in 1987, as he had left the First Baptist Church of Springdale and came to this church to lead in what we called in those days a church growth conference, he said, Wayne, I know you knew Robert Wagner. I said, I sure did, and his wife, and Robert was his music director. And he said, you know, Robert and I talked after I resigned, and we came to this conclusion. Most of our years together, our church was in a state of perpetual revival, and we didn't have sense enough to know it because of dealing with the issues. Folks, church work is not terrible. Sharks, you occasionally have one, but it's not the sharks that kill us, it's a menace. All the time. And if you aren't careful, you live under the blessing of God and you don't know it until it is past. So giving thanks gets the Lord's attention. Number two, look on your screen at Psalm 104. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, folks, giving thanks gives you access to God. Did you see where it said enter his gates? Do you understand the nature of a gate? Do you understand that a gate invariably is open for you to have entrance? He said, now if you want to go through his gates, you enter his gates with thanksgiving. Do you feel like God is distant? Well, let me ask you a question. How distant is the attitude and spirit of thanksgiving to your heart? And you go into his courts with praise. Do you praise him? Do you praise him for what is? We many times can't praise him for what is for looking at what we don't have. I read the story once of a guy who at Christmas time went down the sidewalk looking at all the store windows, finally folded his arms, and somebody heard him say out loud, "My, my, look at all the stuff that I can be happy without." Can you be happy without it? So be thankful unto him and bless his name. You being thankful will give you access to him. Number three, you could quote from memory 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Folks, giving thanks fulfills God's will. You know that God has a will. And as far as we are concerned, now listen carefully, we preachers pick up terminology without sometimes explaining it and trying to make it fit good theology. We'll talk about the permissive will of God. We'll talk about the center of God's will. Folks, if God is sovereign, he doesn't have a will that's impermissive. If there is a center of God's will, are we saying that there is a periphery like a circle? And you may not be in the center of God's will, but at least you're in it. No, when it comes to your life and mine, we are either in his will or we're out of his will. That's why we think there are degrees of obedience. Anything other than giving God everything we understand that he calls for is not a degree of obedience. It is disobedience. And so giving thanks to God fulfills his will. And Wayne Robertson nor you can say that I'm in the will of God unless my heart is thankful. Now, I am so grateful when we come to church. We come in part as the body of Christ to declare the glory of God and give thanks unto God and bless his holy name. But if that's the only time Brother Wayne ever praises God, Brother Wayne's in real serious trouble. Folks, this is not organized religion trying to praise God as the Bible teaches it. It is supposed to be a condition of my heart. Whether you hear it out in the public or not may be debatable, but God needs to know it's there every day, and I need to be telling him so. Lord, I'm thankful. So giving thanks fulfills God's will. Number four. Look at Psalm 69:30 on your screen. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Folks, giving thanks to God magnifies God. Now, what does it mean to magnify? Did you ever have a magnifying glass? What did that magnifying glass do? Enlarged, made it large. And when we give thanks, we are magnifying who God is. But let me tell you something, if you do that sincerely, God is magnified in your heart and mind. That's why that's so important. It means to increase and promote God. And you know, the song of praise that Mary sang following the prophetic greeting by her cousin Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1 said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And when you magnify the Lord, he magnifies himself in your life? Have you found him magnified inside of you recently? Giving thanks, I say again, magnifies God. Number five, in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Now you'll get it. That phrase means don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Folks, giving thanks is a deterrent to anxiety and worry. Are you a person who stays worried? You know, they tell us, I don't know who can determine this, but did you know they tell us about 90% of everything we worry about never happens? But we create ulcers. I had a friend go to his brother doctor one time, and his brother doctor said, you have an ulcer. He was having some type of stomach problems. And he said to his brother, he said, is it something I'm eating? He said, more than likely, it's something that's eating you. Folks, when there's peace in the heart, the stomach acids are not doing this way all the time. And there's as much as I know of in human history right now for us to have churning stomachs over. But folks, whatever may be less than it used to be, there's no less of God than there's ever been. And he is available for you to call on, rely on, and say something to him in private devotion like this. Dear God, right now as I come before you, I'm just embarrassed. This is eating my lunch. It's robbing me of joy. And you might want to remember what you may have read, as I did years ago, where a parent was listening to their child and the child didn't read the text of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I'm worried to death. Do you feel foolish thinking the Lord is my shepherd, but I'm worried to death? In the midst of when my life is falling apart and when I can't explain anything, God is still sovereign and he is working everything out for a purpose that one day we will be able to see from a different perspective, and it's going to blow our minds on that day. There's a singing group in gospel music that sings a song, The Shepherd's Point of View. The most profound words of a song I know anything about. I don't see it right now always from the shepherd's point of view. It might be that I seldom see it from the shepherd's point of view. But I must remember when I don't that there is a view of this situation that seems so insurmountable that is from the shepherd's point of view, and it's going to be okay. It really is. I don't know what he's doing, but he knows what he's doing. And as you've known most of your life, the saying that when I can't trace his hand, I don't know what he's doing, I can trust his heart. Because you know him on a first name basis. You spent time with him. And ultimately, this is going to be okay. Notice with me the sixth thing is Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Now, if the Lord is your strength and your shield, and you trust in him and you're helped, therefore your heart will greatly rejoice. I say to you that giving thanks will ignite joy. The Bible talks about the joy of the Lord being my strength. And sometimes, folks, the thing we're needing is the strength of spirit. This may not be real spiritual to say, but since I'm the one talking, ain't nobody here but us, I'm going to say it. I've come to prayer meeting many times. It's been a long, hard Wednesday. And my strength physically is zapped. And I feel like I'm coming into the building with my coattail dragging out my tracks. And you let us come in and we start singing and we begin to fellowship and we pray and we praise. And then we open the Word of God and our hearts are reminded of the eternal truth of God. And lo and behold, leave here with a strength I did not possess. Why is that? Because the things that were pulling me down, I laid that aside long enough to look at the one who's in control of those things, and he pulled me up. I don't know how you live not going before God every day. Now, I wouldn't fuss about when you do it, but it wouldn't be real good if I waited till the end of the day. Ain't much of me left. Beth don't get much of me at the end of the day. Jesus would get less. I'd get in that chair, and next thing I know, you can't imagine the news programs I missed because the day was over. I try to do that while my mind is fresh and my spirit is alive under the things of God, and just thank him for his overall care of my life, watching after me when I was aware of it, watching after me when I wasn't aware of it, caring about me while I care about him, but caring about me when I cared nothing for him. Have you thought about that? Folks, providence was watching over you before you ever got saved. That's who he is. And so giving thanks will ignite your joy. Number 7. Acts 16:25, you know the story. Paul and Silas are in jail, and at midnight, what are they doing? Having a complaining session, saying, the preacher knows we're down here. Why don't you come bail us out? No, they didn't do that at all. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them, and you know what God did as a result. An earthquake occurred, and the jail was opened, and that sort of thing. But here's what I gather from this. Giving thanks gives supernatural strength to face the challenges of life. Folks, you got to have some measure of God at work in your heart, that here you are in jail, not because of disobedience, but because of obedience. The most discouraging thing I know is to be accused when you're innocent. And so rather than put on a pouting party, a self-pity party, I tell you what let's do. Let's just sing praises to God. And they start singing praises to God. Folks, if you sing from your heart praises to God, among other things, you will drive the demons of hell crazy. They can't stand it. And sometime it might be good for you and me just to say, okay, devil and demons, you want to start that, go right ahead. But now I'm just going to take that as your request for me to praise God. And I'm about to start praising God right now. You will cause, have you ever heard the expression, heaven help us, all hell's breaking loose? The demons of hell will say, hell help us, all heaven's breaking loose. And we need some heaven to break loose in our hearts because we have reason to. Number 8 and lastly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, we find these words. But he that glorieth, let him glory in his personal accomplishments. Is that what that said? No. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Giving thanks, folks, helps keep you humble. Folks, there's something about us that I don't know exactly, unless it's attached to the part of the evil nature. You know, the Bible teaches that we're controlled by a wicked, evil, depraved nature. And when Christ saves us, the dominating power of the evil nature is broken, but it's not completely eradicated. Well, tied to that old nature, and I've never read this in the Bible, but there has to be a pump or machine that makes helium. And before you know it, we get swelled up like a big old toad frog. I think, folks, that I heard it expressed many years ago by Jerry Falwell Sr. when he said, a preacher starts going down when he believes his own press. There ain't a one of us, folks, in this room as good as other people say we are. Not a one of us. Now, let me encourage you a little. You're not as bad as your enemies say you are either. Praise God for that. They're only expressing what they wish you were. And if you aren't careful, you'll let them turn you into what they are. But let me tell you what we can be assured of. If we get swelled up like a balloon full of helium, God has a holy pen that he knows how to let that helium out. Now, my mother would have called that, I'm about to take you down a buttonhole. They never did say anything about increasing my pant size. They always wanted to take me down a buttonhole because she said, you're getting too big for your britches. Did you know that I found out later in life that God knows something about being a seamstress? He can deal with clothing, and he can also take us down a buttonhole. And if you want to know how God does it, here's what the scripture says. God resists those that get full of helium, the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. What do you possess, or what have you ever been blessed with that you attained on your own without the aid directly from God? And the truth of the matter is, nothing. To hear some of them tell it, they were born. Mom brought them immediately home from the hospital, took them to their room and said, here, baby, here's your room. Your diapers are in the top drawer. Your clothes are down here in the second drawer. Just have a good time. And they never had to have any help anywhere. I cherished, and most boys do especially, I cherished teasing my mama. I mean, I lived, and Dad too when he was living. I just cherished that. So that she was talking about one of the grandkids one day, and I said, well, Mom, if you remember, she's talking about how, you know, I know this will come as no surprise, grandparents talk about how good the grandchildren are. And so she's talking about how good the grandchildren are. I said, well, Mom, honey, if you just remember, I didn't dirty my diaper but twice. Folks, to hear us tell it spiritually, we've never dirtied our diapers but twice. And God knows there's seldom been a day we didn't dirty our diapers. That's the truth. And there's only one that can make you clean, and you don't want him resisting the proud. Stay humble. If you'll stay humble, you'll stay usable. And you'll also be a person who can give thanks to God. That's just one of the benefits. Giving thanks to God will keep you humble. Now, without any public response at this point, did God put his finger on anything in your life? Are we having a little tension going on back at the house? I had somebody say to me not long ago, Pastor, we started coming to the church, and I finally said to my husband, does he come and sit on our doorstep? The answer is no, never have, wouldn't want to. But the book, if you'll be faithful with this book, you'll find out that the one that wrote this book, he sits on your doorstep and on the steps of your heart every day you live. And when you don't open your mouth that day, he even knows what's down in here. This morning, what has God dealt with your heart over that you need to make a change? You don't always have to come to an altar, but you need to make a change before you leave today. Worst thing could happen to you is to agree with something God said and not do anything about it. You know what will happen? You'll get just a little harder and harder and harder and harder. And you don't want to do that. If you're here today without Jesus, did you know that the Bible indicates that if you will repent of your sin, you can have your sins forgiven and Christ will save you? Repentance means change. Have you changed your mind about how you've lived? Are you have any godly sorrow at all for the way things you've done? Do you want God's forgiveness? If you'll repent of your sin, he will absolutely forgive it, and by his Spirit will come to live inside of you, and he will be your Savior, and he will be your Lord, and he will take over your life to help you live in a way that you've never been able to live on your own, and you never will be able to live on your own. But he will give you divine enablement. Can we pray together? Precious Father, on this Sunday before what the world calls Thanksgiving Day, we come, Lord, like 51 other Sundays out of the year, to express true thanksgiving. That a God who needed nobody and no thing one day saw fit to bring the gospel to our hearts, and by your Spirit, you saved us. And today, Lord, I pray there will be some people saved who've never received you into their hearts and lives. I believe your Spirit can deliver saving grace. And then, Lord, for we who are your people, Lord, have we become an ungrateful people? Do we complain about a lot? Are we not, Lord, as appreciative to you as we should be for all that's ours? Did we wake up this morning with somebody else breathing in the bed we were in? Is there someone called a family member in the home that is enormously good to us and for us? Lord, did we have a selection of things to put on this morning? Do we, Lord, did we have a choice of what vehicle we might have driven today? On and on, oh God, we could talk about material blessings, but Lord, I want us to conclude this time thinking about the priceless blessings that money can't buy. You can't put it on a credit card. It's those things like peace. It's those things like contentment. It's those things like people that you've put into our hearts and lives that mean much to us. It's a living faith. It's the assurance of salvation. It's the joy of knowing that we ought to be condemned, but yet we have been forgiven because of you. I pray in this moment that every type of decision that needs to be made in the spirit of my life and the spirit of this people, may the blessed Holy Spirit bring that to fruition. Thank you for letting us share these simple words that can have such a meaningful impact in our lives as we seek to truly live a life, not just today, but each day, of giving thanks to you. Lord, may your will be done in these moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, church family and guests, and would you respond if God has spoken to your heart? Step out at this time as Brother David leads us.